Check it out. Focus. Get loose. Get Focus. Loose.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 131 for May 1st, 2008. This week on the podcast, Crybabies at Crytek, Iron Man fanboyism and fangirlism, Genocide at EA Land, The Last Stand Rises Again, Milk, Eggs, and Video Games in the New York Times, a new DX10 benchmark from FutureMark, and reader questions, girlish laughter, and much, much more. This is your host, Logan Decker, and I'm joined today by Editor-in-Chief, Kristen Salvatore.
Who's going to talk really low today?
Senior Associate Editor, Dan Stapleton.
I will not restrict my volume.
And the man who pulls it all together, podcast producer, Andy Bauman.
There's only so much I can do to contain Kristen's voice.
We'll do more, damn it.
You're containing my enthusiasm, not my voice.
Yeah,
that's true.
Somebody called me Barbara Streisand on the the comments.
Whoa.
That was uncalled for.
Yeah. Totally uncalled for.
Yes, but somewhere my mother is going like, you know, is singing Yentl.
We are not joined today by Senior Executive Editor Chuck Osborne, who is currently in Moscow checking out Red Alert 3, and no doubt up to his ear flaps in borscht, vodka, and lovely young brides who've spent their girlhoods dreaming of being swept away by a dashing Westerner with nice clothes and good credit. I'm sorry to say I really know squat about Russia, except for I liked it, Night Watch and Day Watch, those movies.
Dude.
Anyone see those?
Oh my gosh, Logan, I'm sort of a new member to that club, the Night Watch and Day Watch, and I was blown away by those movies.
Yeah. Like, anyone else?
I
watched
about
the first
about.
15 minutes of Night Watch.
You know what? I watched Day Watch
That's not
first.
Acceptable. Cause it
what
was,
is Night Watch?
It's a movie.
It's like the most
Andy,
significant.
You want to take this one, Andy?
Okay, so I watched Daywatch first just because I don't know. I was like, oh, I'm going to rent Daywatch and see what it's all about.
Okay.
And it blew my mind how visionary of a movie it is. It's like 1998 all over again, but better than The Matrix because it's like a crazy storyline that this director can just like stick to. Like, this movie would not be made in America because no one would have the faith in this Russian filmmaker. And like he just like has this crazy story, crazy visuals, amazing like execution of everything, and you're still like, what the hell's going on? But you follow it anyway. And then watching.
You
want to
explain
Watch,
the premise of this?
It's hard. It's like it's hard to explain. There's like people that are special. They have special powers, like being a witch or a vampire. You know, sort of dark. And then there's like. But they're divided into two categories where there's like people of the good and people of the dark, or not good necessarily, but like people of
there's like dark and light, and yeah. They have
it sounds
a pact.
Like high school.
Yeah, it's
they have a pact between them so they can coexist.
Right.
So you know, there's and the Night Watch and the Day Watch that refers to each side monitoring the other to make sure it stays in line. But now they're packed.
It really is like high school.
Night Watch is the first installment, and that's when the pact starts to break up after they've had it for thousands of years or something like that.
Yeah. And there's all this crazy stuff going on with like there's a whole another realm that's sort of beneath the visual realm that these people can sort of travel in and see in, and it makes for just really, really amazing visionary filmmaking that I haven't seen that. Ever really,
it's and like The Matrix, there's lots of interesting eyewear.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. This one guy has a chain hanging from his ceiling, and he loops the little part that goes over your ear into the chain. So he's this dangling chain of eyewear, and I thought, wow, I would try that if I was cooler.
Wasn't there a Night Watch game a while ago? I think it was a turn-based.
Yes, there was. Yeah. Well, we didn't regard that particularly highly.
Was it based?
Which
on
is sad because it would have made a great game.
Was it
a
based
better
on
game.
The property? Is it or different?
Yeah, it was.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was. It was based on the Night Watch series.
So he's the guy who directed these movies is doing an American film called Wanted. The one where the guy curves the bullet.
Angelina Jolie.
Correct. Yeah.
That looks awesome.
So
it looks really, so terribly over the top.
No, but dude. if you sort of watch Night Watch and Day Watch, and if it clicks like it did for me, you will be looking forward to Wanted just because of. Just
I'm
how,
all about over
cool.
the top.
Yeah.
Day Watch had a car at going at full speed horizontally on a giant apartment building.
Did you see? There's a commercial that totally rips that off. It's like a.
I mean, it's awesome. You see this chick driving horizontally across an entire curved apartment building.
I was going to cite that as like one of the just brilliant moments of the film.
Well, just speaking of, let's get off Russia. Okay. I mean, nobody knows anything about Russia. Speaking of rampant fanboyism and movies, I understand. Okay, I missed it, but everyone else got to see Iron Man last night.
Yeah, Sega invited us to a press screening of Iron Man because they're doing the game, which we haven't gotten that in yet for review, but it's supposed to be coming any day now. But so they had a pre-screening that they got to invite people to, which we were fortunate enough to attend.
And did it suck like 50, I told Norm it would?
50 minutes about a guy building a suit.
Hey, I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it. I don't know. Maybe it's a gender thing. I don't know. Yeah. But guys like robot-looking things.
Was it a sweet
montage?
I'm
not saying I don't like robot-looking things. I just, it was like, 85% suit building. Not even 15% fighting each other. Like, I wanted more of a fighting.
It's an origin story. You know, it's not. I mean, it's like in Batman Begins. There was not that much. I mean, like only Batman himself actually came into the picture like halfway through.
But it wasn't so. Batman. It wasn't like 45 minutes of him like sewing his suit together. I will say, as we've said in the office this morning, I thought Robert Downey Jr. did a great job. With what he was given, it wasn't a. I didn't think it was a bad movie. I just was sort of like. Okay, he's really smart. He can fly. Look, he's, ha ha ha. Like, he thinks he's going to catch on fire again in his test lab. Like, there's Gwyneth Paltrow. She's got nice hair. Like,
maybe they could have done the origin story in those receding headlines, like Star Wars, Like, he makes a suit, and then the movie starts.
I just sort of like it was, I would have been more, I liked the parts where he was actually, like, using the suit and shooting bad guys and, actively. Being a superhero.
All I can say
is he builds a suit and then he gets in a fight and then something happens.
and Norm loved it too, just for my to back me up.
But you know what? Norm isn't here to say that, so I can't say that
reiterate, I found it to be I found it to be a pleasant, kind of fun thing to watch. Robert Downey Jr. is great as usual. He has that sort of perfect combination of like drama and comic timing. Like I thought he did a great job. He's like one of the least wooden actors out there, which I really appreciate. I like watching him. But in terms of like, will I go to see the sequel?
Well, the sequel would be a lot more fighting and less suit building. I mean, now that the character's established, now that you've got his origins, where the suit came from, you can actually have him, doing more suit stuff.
What if he makes another suit?
Or
shoes. What if he makes shoes, huh? Boots.
What if he opens a haberdashery?
Iron pants.
Right, exactly.
As long as there's some sweet building montages, I'm all about it.
Right, right.
Well, all I can say is that it was no doomsday, but there you have it. Let's talk about some games. We have some surprising news from Chavat Yerliev over at Crytek, the makers of Crysis, who said that future Crytek games will probably not be PC exclusives, as Crysis was. He blames
piracy.
He blames it all on piracy. We've heard this one before.
Specifically,
he told the European website PC Play. We are suffering currently from the huge piracy that is encompassing Crysis. We seem to lead the charts in piracy by a large margin, and that is not desirable.
I just, I don't really understand that the huge, he's totally selling out and not making PC exclusive games. As big of a PC, enthusiast as I am, I don't see this as selling out at all. I mean, if you're not making as much return on your investment as you could be by making something cross-platform, that's not like condemning the platform. That's just saying I could be doing something more inclusive rather than exclusive.
I agree, and actually I have no problem with anybody, including people who make great PC games, making things cross-platform. I actually happen to agree, like, the more people who are playing, the better for all of us. Mm-hmm. What gets me about this is that he's specifically attributing it to Crysis. If the truth is, they really, you know, the issue is, hey, we can make more money making cross-platform games. Did I just say specifically attributing it to Crysis? I meant to piracy, yeah. Sorry. You know, if that's really the issue, like, hey, the truth is we can make more dough if we make this for more people, then just say that. That's fine.
Yeah,
but this idea
yeah.
of, like, maligning, of, like, you know, well, you know, maligning the PC as being, you know, as coming apart as a result of piracy, and that's why we won't do PC exclusives anymore, that's kind of what bugs me.
Well, and it is hard to look at those numbers and not think, hey, if we were on a more secure platform, we would be making more money. It's not necessarily true, because how many of those people that are pirating it would actually buy it? But it would. I understand the position of somebody who's put years of their life into this and seeing a bunch of people stealing it and wanting to go, you know, go somewhere where you can prevent people from stealing it.
And part of the reason that it's go ahead, Logan.
No, go ahead, please, Chris.
Well, I was going to say part of the reason that it's hard for me at this point to make any what I feel like are any reasonable comments about this stuff is. The only numbers we have, the only sales numbers we have for any game on the PC are the numbers that come from NPD, which, as we all know, measure like a portion of what actual PC sales are. You know, there's no measurement of anything that was purchased online, whether it was digitally downloaded or not. So
well, there is. In this case, there is, because EA came out and said they've sold over 1 million.
Was that including downloaded ones as well?
I assume so. They just claimed they had sold 1 million copies of Crysis worldwide.
Well, then I really don't understand.
Yeah.
Because 1 million copies is like...
we didn't sell 2 million!
Yeah, that's a lot of games. So I really don't understand. Like, I'm interested to know, like, what sort of targets they were expecting for this game. Because 1 million copies of anything sure seems like a lot to me.
Yeah.
Like, I have a hard time understanding why anybody would be disappointed by that and feel like they were getting... You know, like, I don't understand how that equates to we're just not making enough money on this.
Well, when you think about it, a million times $50, and, you know, over in Europe they might be paying less than that in some countries. So 1 million times 50 is $50 million. It probably costs them, you know, the vast majority of that to make the game. So their profit margin is probably not that huge.
They look at
Call of Duty. They look at Assassin's Creed and GTA and everything else and see what they're selling.
So make it cross-platform. Great.
Right. That's what they're talking about doing. And I see people saying, they're doing what Epic did, and they're going to just turn their backs on the PC. I don't see that happening. I think these guys are devoted enough to the PC that, I mean, they at this day and age to make a PC exclusive game like Crysis to take that chance. And go in with that attitude. I don't see them turning their backs on the PC. I think these are the kind of guys that would do a simultaneous development kind of thing and not do a console version and then port it over to the PC.
No, I agree.
So I don't see this as a negative thing at all.
No, I don't think anybody here is saying that they see it as a negative thing at all. Like I said,
no, I'm responding mostly to people on forums and things like that. They're just, oh, the sky is falling.
Yeah,
well,
no,
I can understand the bitterness, that a developer has, like seeing all these, you know, pirated copies out in the net. But on the other hand, I'm astounded that just a couple months ago when I checked, Crysis was still in the top 10 of PC games, despite the fact that a fraction of PCs that can actually run the game at a decent frame rate and visual quality is like thinner than Britney Spears' thong, you know? It's like there's a tiny little slice, and yet they sold so well in that narrow little channel.
But Crysis is one of those games Crysis is one of those games that has kind of a long tail, though, because when people get a new PC and think, my old PC couldn't run Crysis, but now I got this new PC, I'll go get Crysis.
That's right.
I think
where Stardock's answer is like, you know, hey, if you want to sell more copies, expand your audience. You know, make sure your game... I mean, you know, Crytek always said you can run this game. We will make a game that you can run decently, like on a,
like a mid-range,
low-end P4. But come on, you know, nobody wants to look at Crysis at, you know, 800 by 600 with all the visual settings turned off.
Right. I mean, it's still a good game at that, but it's not the full experience.
Right.
I think that I sort of shared the gut reaction to a lot of the forum posters that you guys are speaking of. Like, I it was sort of a heartbreaking thing to hear this coming from Savat Yearly, because before, you know, pre-crisis and crisis hype machine, they were like, the PC is where it's at, where we can't get this game on console. And, you know, that was just so awesome to hear coming in. And crisis was such a big deal. And then, you know, I kind of was, like, disappointed in the PC, like, gaming community, because a lot of people sort of dissed on Crysis. I was like, no, you got to, like, champion Crysis because it's so great. But I guess you're right. Like, it is there. This is no longer a viable thing to do, is to make a PC exclusive game, and that's okay. Like, that's fine.
It's
just you're not going to make make as much money. What I'd actually like, what I'd be thrilled to see in this same vein is start making more cross platform play. That would make me really
But I mean, nobody's done that with a shooter except for Shadowrun, and for good reason, because the people on consoles would just get absolutely destroyed. And, you know, we've talked to numerous developers who have said the exact same thing. You know, we tried it. It was just not a level playing field, and it's not fun for the people on consoles to just get massacred. So, I don't see...
We'll give people the option. I just sort of feel like if we're really moving to this gaming's, you know, landscape where the idea is that, you know, they're going to release across various platforms, I don't understand. You don't have to make people play cross-platform. I don't understand why you would leave the functionality out.
Well, like, I mean, it does take some technological doing on the back end in order to get it to work like that. And, you know, we've heard a lot of developers also griping about Live for Windows. I mean, and we gripe a lot about Live for Windows because it sucks.
You betcha.
So, I mean, I can't really say I'm disappointed that a lot of people aren't building Live for Windows into their games.
I guess my argument would be there's all, you know, all of the issues that continue to raise their head, and in particular piracy. I'm beginning to get really irked by the fact that no one wants to look further down the road and come together to create a longer term strategy for dealing with this stuff, for that, for multi-platform play. Like, I feel like there are band-aid solutions left, right, and center. If even that, it would be so much smarter if the industry would actually unite and say, let's come up with like a standardized way for dealing with this that will, you know, that will help us, you know, 5 and 10 years from now, instead of this sort of like.
Well, I don't know. I think that you know, there are a lot of smart people in the industry, and they are trying to come up with an idea like that. But it's just not an easy thing to do. I mean, every idea they've come up with thus far for a copy protection scheme that will work, is cracked within a week.
I wonder what better thing they could come up with if we put truly like the finest minds united on it. You know what I mean?
Rather than
trying in their individual silos.
But because the PC is such an open platform, there are so many different ways that crackers can attack things. So unless you actually close the platform, and I guess Microsoft and Intel were talking about doing this with Vista a while back with that Palladium.
Yeah, it's called Palladium. Ugh.
Right.
Yeah, and exactly. You get that very reaction from everybody in the PC community. Just, ugh. You know, they're trying to close off parts of the platform, and nobody wants that to happen because they don't want control over their PC taken away from them.
Right.
I'm just saying that there may be no real way to secure the PC platform without, you know, taking away the rights of the user. So, and it's a lot like the constitution of the PC, where in order to make you safe, we're going to take away your rights.
Right. Yeah.
Not many people are going to be happy about giving up that freedom.
But Valve, you know, hit a great middle, you know, of the road solution, and the funny thing, you know, the thing, sure. Valve games get cracked just like all the rest and are available through piracy, but it's so much easier to go through Steam for people who were going to buy the game anyway. And at the same time on consoles, you see GTA 4 came out a week on BitTorrent before it did on the consoles. So it's not like they're crack-proof.
Right, but on the consoles, you do have the fact that, you know, 99.5% of your user base aren't going to crack open their consoles and solder.
Sure, absolutely not. But it's still pretty, you know. Yeah, you have to have a certain level of sophistication to know how to use BitTorrent and how to download this stuff, unpack it, and do all that.
BitTorrent does not take any real sophistication these days. It's getting really easy. So
I just find it, you know, you brought up Valve and Steam. I find it fascinating that we haven't heard word one from the guys at Valve, who've certainly, you know, Gabe Newell's never been afraid to say what he said, you know, thinks about things. He's not said one word about feeling like they're suffering as a result of piracy. He's not said one word about, you know, concerns that they'll have to change the way they do business because of
on
that.
On the other hand, though, they have gone cross-platform. They have put
out the haven't. I don't think they've gone cross-platform because of piracy.
No.
Right. Yeah. That they've gone cross-platform because it's a better business model.
Right.
So,
and I think that's very similar to what Crytek is doing here. I think that, you know, they mentioned piracy and that they do think that is hurting them, but I don't think that they would go under if they continue to do PC games. I don't think they're worried about that. I think they're just worried about making the biggest return on their investment. Mm-hmm.
But I agree with Andy. The minute I heard that statement, it was just heartbreaking to hear the statement. It's like having somebody tell you, I want an open relationship. And you're, whoa!
whoa.
Yeah, it just kind of gets you right there. So, you know, but hey, you know, the more people playing games. He did say that Crysis is not going to show up on consoles, obviously, because, you know, it's a little more than this generation is going to be able to handle.
Where does he say that?
It's in a pull quote at the beginning of the article. We'll link to this on our website, but it's at www.pcplay.hr.
Oh, I see.
But you can just do a Google search on, you know.
I see. I actually see it now. Yeah. Our internal focus is not linked to bringing Crysis to console.
Yeah, yeah. Because I, you know, who knows if that's even possible. So, speaking of broken hearts, well, we've got a lot of broken hearts over on The Sims Online.
It's no longer The Sims Online, though.
Yeah, that was the Sims Online was sort of, what was it, migrated over to EA Land? Was that
No, they just changed the name of it. They changed it from The Sims Online to EA Land. I don't even remember hearing about that, so it must have been something they kind of downplayed a little. You suppose they, and now I guess they've closed EA Land. They're shutting it down.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they have shut down EA Land, which had been The Sims Online, and so
but
all
do
of
you
that
suppose,
is gone.
PC gaming.
Do you
soon?
Suppose because the name change and the shutdown came so close together? Do you suppose they just didn't want to shut down something called The Sims?
And people are talking.
Yeah, I mean that's like a like some kind of crazy marketing thinking. It's like, oh, we can't have a black mark on The Sims record.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because it happened, like, as far as I know, in the space of a month. You know, The Sims Online became EA Land, and it also became free. So maybe they were saying, well, is there going to be a huge uptick, you know, in subscribers? Is this going to become a new destination, like Second Life?
Did they? Were there any numbers on how many people were still playing Sims Online? I didn't see that.
They did not release the numbers, even in their
like
press
release.
Yeah,
exactly. And it was all
one guy. Them were pedophiles.
Hi, Jan. Hi, Henry.
Oh, no.
It was actually just one guy with five
accounts. Exactly.
Account.
Dear John, Janie, right. Margo, and right.
But, you know, that's too bad. It is funny that that it didn't become, you know, something like a Second Life thing. But then again, Second Life is sort of geared toward user-created content, and The Sims Online, I don't think, you know, had that angle. You know, you couldn't make your own environments. You know, there isn't that kind of freedom. So I suspect that maybe they thought, hey, let's convert this to a free service, call it EA Land, and see if it takes off. You know, we can use it to promote other products, other games. And then when they transferred over and they realized, you know, they heard the crickets and all that. So, but it's a entirely plausible theory that, yeah, they simply didn't want to close down a Sims property in that sort of unpleasant way. Ignominious, I think, is the word for it. Yeah.
I guess there were a few. We got a couple of emails from people that are very upset over it, but. I think by and large it's going to go pretty unnoticed that Sims Online / EA Land is no longer in operation.
Yeah. But there is one small ray of hope in that everything that dies may rise again. And that's certainly the case in the games The Last Stand. How's that for a segue? I was hoping for applause.
That was good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The Last Stand, you might recall, is a kind of a what was it, Flash game?
Yeah, it's Flash.
Yeah, where you battle zombies that kept coming at you and you had to shore up your defenses and whatnot. Well, The Last Stand apparently was not The Last Stand, because The Last Stand 2 has just come out, and I've seen Dan Stilpian's face glued to the monitor for days, taking out the dead.
It's a brilliant little game.
So what did they change in this new one here?
That has added a little bit of depth to it. Like you can have you can you know, find other survivors and arm them with guns that you find. Basically, it's the entire gameplay is you behind a barricade, picking off zombies as they walk towards you, and if they get close enough, they'll start clawing away at the barricade and break it down and eventually come and eat you if you don't stop them. So that's what happens at night. During the day, you rebuild your barricade, you search the town for supplies and for other survivors, and you try and get enough supplies to move on to the next town and try and get to like where some boats are leaving this presumably it's an island that you're on that's infested with zombies. So you try and make your escape. And it's brilliant.
You know what I would do if there were a zombie invasion? The first thing I would do is get as many cans of corned beef hash as I could and Bactine. That's the one thing I've never seen people use in the zombie movies. If you get bitten, don't you think if you put Bactine on it right away?
You know,
maybe.
You know what actually would make more sense?
What?
You know, rum is a natural disinfectant.
Is it?
It is.
But why is the rum gone?
So, what's that?
Why is the rum gone?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Nah. Well, you can find go ahead and Google The Last Stand 2, and you too can have yourself a zombie time.
You can get it at armorgames.com.
Armorgames.com. Yeah. And I think that, where was The Last Stand on? That was Kongregate?
I'm not sure about that. Yeah. But I just want to give people a tip. Without spoiling anything, be sure to check out the Mystery Town. Just check it out.
Mystery Town. That was one of the first games I ever played on a computer. It was Mystery House by Roberta Williams. Great game. High res at the time, which meant these little stick figure drawings, but that was still pretty cool. If you opened up your New York Times this Tuesday, you would have read an article called "For Gamers, the Craving Won't Quit." And it was, of course, timed to release to match the date of the release of Grand Theft Auto 4. We were just not going to worry about that too much. We hear it's a fantastic game. We're waiting for it to come to the PC. It'll take probably, 7 months? Anyone want to make a bet?
I say a year, full year.
That's, a year?
It's 7 or 8 months. We actually we had our loyal intern, Chris, yesterday. We had him calculate the amount of time between the release of GTA games on the consoles and when they came out on the PC. And I guess the for the last three, it's been about 7 or 8 months. Huh. So, and we have a handy graph and everything.
Just long enough for no one to give a crap.
I still love when those games come out.
Yeah, I'm gonna play it again when it comes out on PC. Yeah.
Andy, you said you were playing Grand Theft Auto now, right?
That is true. I happen to get a Blu-ray player that when I stick GTA in, it works as well. So I figured,
wow, that is cool.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
So I was like, well, might as well play it. See what it's all about. At first I was like, frame rate, hello, if this is on PC, it'd be so much better.
Oh, sure. All right.
I actually bought it yesterday. I didn't have a chance to start playing last night because I was watching Robert Downey Jr. build a suit. But
that's sort of how the first
I'm
going to
play this
are.
Weekend.
Yeah. I can't wait for it to come out on PC. It'll be so much more fun.
I went over to a friend's house last night and played a little bit on their 360, and there weren't any frame rate issues on the 360. But I can't get behind the camera controls. It's terrible.
I don't know if it's a frame rate issue, if just lower on average frame rates than I'm used to.
When you guys played the previous games on PC, did you play them with mouse and keyboard or with a gamepad?
Absolutely.
Mouse and keyboard.
Absolutely, mouse and keyboard.
Mouse keyboard.
Yeah.
The only downside to playing with mouse and keyboard is that you need you don't get the analog steering.
Yeah.
Acceleration that you do with the gamepad. But and if you wanted to, you could just have a gamepad next to your mouse and keyboard and just pick that up when you're.
I still felt like I got really good at it though, with just the tapping. Just tap it instead of analog.
Yeah, and you can certainly make do.
Yeah,
I didn't have any problem finishing those games. Even the harder missions, like the stupid remote control car missions.
Oh,
Oh, that was awful. A horror beyond imagination.
That's when I stopped playing that game. I just set it down and never picked it back up.
Although apparently, according to all the reviews and everybody, and like talking to Rob Smith at PlayStation, the official magazine, who went out and played it, he said that they eliminated all that stuff for GTA 4 and made sure that all the mission or none of the missions suck. So.
They eliminated all the stuff that was really crappy.
Yeah,
that's good.
But, anyway, that was
back to this article.
Yeah.
Right, you were saying.
Well, the New York Times just mentions that, you know, despite the fact that we are what some people call a downturn or a slowdown, and other people call a recession, and people are being shoved out of their houses by banks. Software sales are still up 63% compared with the previous year, and hardware is up 46% over the previous year. And this one guy from Lazard Capital Markets had a charming quote. People say that if consumers are down to their last $50, the last three things they'll buy are milk, eggs, and video games.
Yeah. And, you know, that's always been pretty true of this industry, that it's been recession-proof.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you think people were all nervous about the sort of close release of Iron Man and Grand Theft Auto 4? Do you think that's really going to have an impact?
I think it might. You know,
Is that what I saw last night?
Well, it's the movie industry has something to blame. They'll be like, poor sales due to GTA 4.
You know what? They always look for something to blame. If it's not the release of GTA 4, it's that it was too hot or it was too cold or it's the summer or it's the winter.
I think the movie is going to do fine, but I think that had GTA not come out when it did, I think the more people would have a little bit of disposable income, especially since movies are so expensive now.
Right.
You know, it's $10 for a movie. You know, that's 1/6 of your console GTA purchase. And they do calculate in this article. They calculate that the game costs $60 and can take 40 hours or more to complete, making the cost per hour about $1.50. Whereas the cost of per hour of Iron Man is $5. So you do the math.
Yeah, and when you're playing Grand Theft Auto, you're using a cell phone instead of listening to somebody else's cell phone in the theater.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But, I think in the long run, I just can't imagine that it makes that much of a difference. Because if I get sucked into a game, like it happened with Crysis, it happened with Bioshock, it happened with Portal, happened with Call of Duty 4, I couldn't stop. I couldn't wait to get home. I didn't watch TV, I didn't go to movies, didn't do any of that stuff until I was finished. But then, after that, then you go and you go see the movie and there are fewer crowds, anyway.
Right, but it could damage the opening weekend of Iron Man.
Right.
Because people will still be playing GTA then. At the same time, they will go and see it the next weekend, so.
Sure. Yeah, so I think in the long run, I don't imagine it makes that much of a difference. It's all the marketing and PR people who are worried about the big, splashy opening weekend. And in that respect, it probably did hurt, I think.
But they it hasn't had the opening weekend yet. We saw a preview screening last night. But
Well, I still think it is going to because a game like Grand Theft Auto is tough to, bad missions notwithstanding. It's tough to pull yourself away from.
It is the exact same demographic is what they're worried about because the same people that they want to go see Iron Man are the guys that are out there buying GTA.
Yeah. So can you mod Iron Man to for a special, clothing optional scene or something like that? Cut that. That wasn't funny at all.
Yes, it was.
It's a godlike power to be able to say cut that.
To cut that, right, exactly.
I want to do that in my whole life, like embarrassing situations. Cut that.
I'll just follow you around, Logan, wherever you go.
Right. And
You know what? Cut that. I didn't like how that turned out. Or can we pause because I want to think of a really witty comeback.
Andy, you're going to need one of those Men in Black flasher things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just be that guy.
Anyway.
That's the future of filmmaking.
It really is, It's flash filmmaking.
Yeah.
And editing your life on the fly. I like the idea.
I made a film about that, actually. A short film where you can, edit your life. And,
mm-hmm.
Did you file a patent application?
No. It was terrible.
Look at what's next.
Future Mark. They make 3D Mark 06, which is a very popular benchmarking tool. I use it in our system reviews. Has released a new DirectX 10 benchmark called Vantage. And if you scurry over to www.futuremark.com, you can download it and run it once on your PC for free. If you've got, naturally, if you're running Vista and DX10. And then you can see how your rig compares to everyone else's, and we all know how important that is.
I think they made a mistake in making it run just once for free. I think that will, you know, for the, how big is the download for that?
It's huge. It's for about 440 megabytes.
Yeah, so do you really want to download 440 megs for something you can run once? You don't get to tweak and try and improve your performance. You don't get to use that as a measurement.
That's absolutely true. On the other hand, to their credit, they came out with a really good pricing scheme this time. I think 3D Marco 6 was, I think it was around $20. Now they give you the kind of basic edition for $7, which I'm sorry, go ahead.
Didn't they do an 07 version or an 08?
No. We're still at 06, yeah.
Okay.
And so the basic version gives you, you know, the basic benchmarking tools, and you can run it as many times as you want. And $7 is a pretty good price for a really good and thorough benchmarking tool. And then if you want the advanced version, it's all of $20, you know. You spend more on, you know, tools for your house or a really fancy screwdriver.
Right.
Definitely worth the money, you know. And plus, you can run it once just to see if you even need a benchmarking tool, if you're doing okay, you're satisfied with your performance.
Right. And I guess that they may have had some information saying that, well, maybe the majority of people that downloaded only ran it once anyway. So
that's true, yeah. And it's, you know, it's nice to know. It's a great way to spot if you're running a new driver, and it's a great way to find out if that driver is bringing you down instead of helping you.
Mm-hmm.
So drivers bringing you
down, man.
What's wrong, Kristen? Drivers bringing you down?
Drivers bringing me down.
How did you know?
So this one is only good for Vista users, right?
Only for Vista. That's right. True. You can still download and try 3D Marco 6 if you're running XP, and you might want to run it after you install SP3. And that is on its way, but it's been delayed twice.
Well, you can still get it right now, right? You can get it, you just can't get it through Windows Update.
Yeah, right? I'm not sure that you can get it from Microsoft, though. I've looked for links. Oh, you can? Norm says you can. Yeah. So you can get it through alternative channels. No, wait, scratch that whole thing.
You can't get it through
Microsoft.
It just hasn't been pushed to Windows Update yet because I guess they ran into some technical
minor.
Yeah, very minor incompatibilities that have people that are running big business networks worried. So they're addressing that, and then it'll be pushed to Windows Update.
Yeah,
So you can get that now. It's supposed to. We haven't done the benchmarks yet, have we?
Not yet.
No, but I guess we're waiting for the final. But it's supposed to increase game frame rates significantly, isn't it? Like 5 to 10%.
It was supposed to have early versions. Showed that it didn't have quite that effect, but everyone assumed, oh, well, this is early. Okay. What I'm finding at the 11th hour, not so much.
Really?
The official word you'll get next week, but not so much just yet. Yeah. But I have not tried it on a variety of machines, so so let's hold our judgment just yet.
Well, I feel a little bit better as a Vista user. I was feeling kind of screwed that, oh, Vista SP1 doesn't increase frame rates at all, SP3 was supposed to increase frame rates significantly. But now I feel better people are getting screwed.
I got to say, we don't know that for sure yet. I haven't tried it on a lot of systems. Right. And one great thing, it doesn't reduce performance, and it adds all the security patches, you know, all rolled up into one, and you know, minor improvements to the OS. So at least it didn't drag the system down. That's wonderful news as far as I'm concerned.
So it doesn't seem like they're trying to sabotage XP to get you to upgrade the system. Which, I mean, some people were concerned about that.
I think it's
would you really put it past Microsoft?
I would not.
Oh, no way.
I would have to say, you know. I mean, they know how to push, you know, a product.
Speaking of performance, did you guys see the little article? I don't know how official it was, but Assassin's Creed sort of like taking away DX 10.1, even though it performed 20% faster or something. And they said it was due to a bug, but some people were thinking it was a NVIDIA because it ran better on ATI hardware because ATI is 10.1. I don't know.
I don't think the difference between DX10 and 10.1 is so minor.
It's almost like administrative and clerical. DX 10.1 just makes certain things that are optional in DX 10.
So you didn't see any performance gains in Assassin's Creed with 10.1?
No.
That would be a little bit. That would be very surprising if there was any kind of performance.
Hugely surprising. It would be like virgin birth, that kind of thing. Mm.
But yeah, they are working on a patch for Assassin's Creed.
That is shocking.
Whoa!
But hey, a man is giving birth. Anything can happen.
So
anything
not a man. Yeah. Anyway. So they are working on a patch for Assassin's Creed that I guess will remove support for DX 10.1. Which makes virtually no difference, and also hopefully will resolve some of the lockup issues that people have been having, which I still haven't been having, I gotta say.
Yeah, I have run it on three systems. I mean, I realize it no doubt has happened to some people, but I've not had that mixed experience, thank God, myself, and I'm really impressed with Ubi, with my experience with Assassin's Creed. Plus, it's awesome game.
I don't know. I am getting to the point where it's getting kind of boring. You know, it's very samey.
I think that may be just a fundamental, like, what are you into thing, because I will never get tired of the free running.
Oh, I never get tired of throwing people off rooftops. That I have an almost perverse amount of fun doing that. I start to worry about myself sometimes.
What's that French word?
Parkour.
Parkour. Is that what you're doing?
I mean, I thought you meant
perverse.
I love just running around like a hamster and you know, or a ferret, you know. Or, hey, you might even say a squirrel.
I wouldn't say that.
What? You know, I could do it all day. So, you know, it's a natural self for me. I love Prince of Persia, you know, for the same reason. And this is way better than Prince of Persia. Although... Dun, dun, dun.
New Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia 3 is Yay. On the way. Yeah. And we are very, very pleased about that.
But getting back to Assassin's Creed, though, before you move on.
No, let's do that.
I'm finding the combat isn't all that challenging. I find that I can take on easily groups of 10 to 15 guys without really having to worry.
Okay, well, that's humiliating.
And
that has not been my experience.
Yeah, it's all about just, you know, block and counter, and you know, if nobody's attacking you, just take a couple slashes at them, and you know, sometimes I'll get into trouble, but then I just run away, and they can't catch you, and yeah, it's not that challenging, and like fighting the bosses or you know the assassination targets is all very samey. I mean, they're pretty much the same as all the other enemies you kill.
But it's dinosaurs. Oh, wait, no, that's Turok, sorry.
now, there is a lot of stabbing people in Turok as well. There's a lot, and just like there is in Assassin's Creed. But
I like the squishy stabbing noises Turok makes. Squish, 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 squish.
But,
I hope my parents don't hear that.
But, I mean, all that said, I am still enjoying it somewhat. I've still got, I think, two more assassinations to go before I finish. But, yeah, it's okay. I don't know if I'm as crazy about it as Norm is, but I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. It sounds sounds good.
Have you played it, Andy?
I haven't, and I want to, and I probably
we'll have to
will.
Fix that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, let's take some reader questions.
Hello, PC Gamer. This is Jesse from Anaheim. I would like to know what the deal with Grand Theft Auto 4 is for the PC. I mean, it seems like every time a Grand Theft Auto game comes out, we have to wait around 9 months for it, and it's getting ridiculous. I mean, I could understand before when they had their exclusivity deal with Sony and the PS2, but now they don't have that, and they're releasing it for the 360, but not the PC. I mean, I'm a number one PC gamer. It's my love, and I would never give it up. But I'm honestly considering getting a 360 just for Grand Theft Auto 4. In fact, I probably will because I'm sick of waiting, and I hate to give in. But I mean, Rockstar got their start on the PC. Grand Theft Auto got its start on the PC. Yet we're getting shafted with every release. I mean, what's the deal? I was hoping you guys could give some insight into that. And thanks. Bye.
That's the PC Gamer podcast for you. We anticipate your questions. Mm-hmm. We hit you with the answers before you even ask a question.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a little bit inaccurate to say that Rockstar got their start on the PC because all the GTA games have been cross platform. Mm-hmm. So, and although the release dates used to be closer together, like I think GTA 2 was like 5 days. Mm-hmm. It came out 5 days before the PC version on the PS2, but or maybe it was PS1, I forget. But in any case, they're not really a historically PC company. But in any case, you know, we do get the games eventually, which is more than you can say for a lot of developers. And you know, I can't say I really blame the guy for you know wanting to get a 360
I mean, that's why they make these deals with console manufacturers, because they know it makes people want to shell out the money. And
I mean, have we confirmed that that's what happened here? There's an exclusivity deal with the
console? We have not confirmed that, but
because,
I
have to imagine that something to do with it. Otherwise, in direct contradiction to the conversation we had earlier, why would they not just release it cross
exactly?
Platform?
Well, because it does take a lot of resources to port it from console to PC. So, they haven't said when it's coming out for PC yet. It could very easily be sooner than it was for the last couple, because there was no exclusivity agreement this time. So, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see.
But, you ask Rockstar about it, and they tell you
nothing.
You know, so, yeah. You know, that's just what they're like, you know. So, unfortunately, we don't have any hard answers for you other than our math wizard intern in his figure of, you know, well, it's been 7 months before. And you know what? If you splurge on a 360, you can play Condemned 2 too. So
here,
nice.
You know what? You hear this typing I'm doing here? That's actually me typing out a message to an email to Rockstar PR right now saying,
WTF.
We're building reader questions.
I think this is the interesting thing for this guy and myself is that I was more than happy to wait for the other releases, and I totally thoroughly enjoyed them on the PC. But for some reason, like, I didn't want to wait for GTA 4. Like, I really just wanted to play it. I don't know why. I don't know. Just the hype swept me up.
I don't know. I think I'm prepared to wait for it. Mostly because there's so many great games on the PC I haven't gotten a chance to play yet. Like, I'm about to start playing Mass Effect
That's the exact same reason for me.
That's going to keep me busy for a while, and then I've got a host of other games I haven't had time to play. So I'm just not going to be hurting that badly to play it right away.
Yeah,
It does kind of suck to be left out of the craze that's sweeping the nation right now.
And it is, you know, by almost all accounts, a superb game. So I can't wait. But, you know, there's so much to do. Like Dan said, you know, there's so many games out there I want to play as well.
It's going to be the same experience when it comes out later. It'll be better for us because we're used to mouse and keyboard. So.
You know what was terrible? I know you guys probably won't care so much, but Norm will. Like, so the TF2 update came out. The same day that GTA 4 was released, and I had to like make the decision. I was like, so what do I do? And I like turned off my computer.
Andy's choice.
Yeah, I was like,
apparently though, and I haven't gotten in there to try it out yet. But apparently, you're not missing a whole lot in TF2 right now because
I heard the new map is spectacular.
Yeah, but on the other hand, apparently there are quite a few bugs with it. Like the PC Gamer Max PC server. Hasn't rolled out the update yet because there are some problems with it. And what's that, Norm?
I think they fixed that.
Okay, they just rolled out the updates.
Yeah.
But they took a while to do that. But also, like, everybody is playing as a medic.
Yeah.
Right now.
Because so Bytor is
everyone
OP.
Wants to do the everyone wants to unlock the new weapons and the new achievements. So like everybody's a medic, and that's just kind of weird. So I mean, if you give it a week or two and it'll calm down, people will start playing other classes again, and then it'll be back to normal.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Let's take another question.
Hi, this is Jules from Connecticut, and it's a follow-up comment to the one made about the RTS gameplay on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. I'm not a huge RTS fan, but I love the Total War series and the Company of Heroes games, but I'm having a very unsatisfying time playing World in Conflict. I've now realized it comes down to whether they have that pause feature in mid-game where you can issue orders. I find it makes it more strategic, although I know Dan will argue that. I just would appreciate if somewhere in your reviews of RTS games that you could say whether they have the pause and order feature, and you could include that in future issues. Love the podcast. Cheers, big ears. See ya.
I actually won't argue that pausing in RTS makes it less doesn't make it more strategic, because I actually just did a column a couple months ago about StarCraft II and how turning up the speed of the game actually makes it less strategic because you have less time to think about what you're doing. However, you can't use the pause thing in multiplayer. So it, I don't know, I never use it because it's just I feel like it's a little bit too much of a crutch. I prefer things like Sins of a Solar Empire, where it just moves at a pace where you can keep up. I mean, you don't need to pause it. You're kind of taking the real time out of the real time strategy at that point.
Ooh, that was good. I like that. Thank you. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, you may as well kind of play a turn-based game at that point. Mm-hmm. But what was the other part of his question?
That was the only question. Yeah. But did he say cheers beers?
I think so. Which is awesome.
Yeah, that was nice. But, I like that.
But I guess World in Conflict is a very different, you know, kind of game. It's much more action all the time, kind of gameplay. So it's faster paced, especially than Company of Heroes, which is a much slower paced game and, you know, more manageable.
Mm-hmm. He also was wondering if in the reviews if you could mention if it pauses or not.
Yeah, we do mention it if it's a significant thing that you know really makes or breaks the gameplay. We don't like our reviews to read like lists of features. So if we wrote every review, it has this, or it does not have this. Yeah, that's not fun to read or to write. So, you know, we'll mention it where we think it's important. But you know, we don't want to list it every time.
Cool.
Should we take one more? Or do
let's
you think
try
that?
One more.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. Dan, I have a question. I recently bought Assassin's Creed for my, in all honesty, low-level PC, and was disappointed to realize that it didn't work. And I'm willing to, tone down all the graphics and sound and shadows and all the effects down to a lower level, but I was just wondering, why don't games like Assassin's Creed release two or three versions for both the high-end, you know, middle and low graphics detail so that I can play it without spending, you know, $250 for a new processor or video card. You know, I'm still willing to pay $50 for it, but, you know, I think that they should upgrade a little bit. Like, not upgrade, downgrade. So that people with lower-end PCs can still play it. What's your opinion? Thanks. Bye.
Well, first of all, the reason they don't do that is because of the expense involved. I mean, it would literally cost them 2 to 3 times as much to do that.
And create massive consumer confusion, even more than exists already.
Right, so you'd have to look on the shelves and do I need version 1, 2, or 3? And that's even more confusing than just looking at the system requirements. But also, I think another reason they don't do that is because it's not all just like graphics dependent. It's also like the level design might require that they load more things into RAM, and if you don't have enough RAM, then they can't do that level. So they would have to redesign the level completely. I mean, it's gameplay things, not graphics. So it's really not practical to do that. I guess the only thing we can tell you to do is, you know, just try and make a point of, especially if you have a lower end PC, make a point of looking at the system requirements, and, you know, also don't always trust the system the requirements, because they do tend to lowball those a bit. So don't trust that your computer, if you like just satisfy the minimum requirements, don't trust that that's going to be a good experience that you're going to have with it. That's really all the advice we can give on that, I'm afraid.
Well, let's go on to our playlist this week. Kristen, what have you been up to?
My God, I've been playing the Age of Conan beta, which I can now talk about because I'm not under NDA anymore. So I've been playing it for our next cover story. So I powered through the first 20-some-odd levels of the game. So that's mostly what I've been doing. And then I took a... Go ahead.
I've been getting off on your screenshots of the one decapitation after another. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that part's been really great. I love the gore of the game. I have some other issues with it, which I talk about in our cover story. But definitely, that was a highlight for me is the combat and the seriously. Like, they made really nice use of the M rating in the combat. So it's supremely gory and bloody, and I like that part a lot. So.
But weren't you saying that the decapitations were very rare?
Decapitations are rare, which is why when I did, I had two of them in 20 levels and was just like hitting my, you know, my, my hotkey.
The screen capture hotkey.
Yeah. The screen capture hotkey, yeah. So, but you know, even though decapitations are rare, there are other, you can complete these like finishing moves. If you string together your combat combos at the right time, you'll get a different, every weapon has a different kind of a finishing move. So even if you don't get a decapitation, you may get like a
dismemberment,
you know, like a short cinematic where you like drive your sword into somebody up to the hilt, and then there'll be like a squish, and you'll get like blood on your screen, like it's like hit you in the face. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I love how you put it. It makes good use of the M rating. It makes me really,
it really
excited.
It does. Yeah, it does. And there's, the whole game sort of makes good use of the M rating. There are lots of sort of sexual themes that kind of made me laugh because I'm not overly familiar with the Conan lore, but enough so that I know that in fact that is actually part of the Conan lore. There's these very like adult themes and sexual themes, but the truth of the matter is like trying to incorporate them into an MMO always makes them come off looking slightly sort of like they've been shoehorned in. So you're in like a dialogue tree with, you know, like a woman who's, you know, clearly is working as a prostitute, and obviously like the goal of your interaction is not supposed to be for her to like come onto you. It's supposed to be for you to get a quest. So it's kind of funny because you'll see like 1, 2, and 3. And so like, you know, the choice number one always kind of moves you to the quest the most quickly, so it's kind of fact based. And then choice number two will be like, well, if you spend more time in my arms in the evening, perhaps we could, you know, like it just has nothing to do with what you're doing.
Or va 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 boom, you know?
Yeah. So my
favorite. When I hear adult themes though, I think like changing diapers and prostate exams and stuff like that, you know? I just don't think, you know.
It's definitely, hookers. Yeah. Well, it's funny that you should say that, because doesn't it speak to how, you know, how much the idea of adult themes changes when you actually are an adult?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is very much, it's clearly like a sort of younger person's vision of what an adult theme is.
Exactly, yeah.
So that was kind of funny. The funniest thing that Chuck and I ran into is at one point you actually pick up a quest that's from like the madam who runs like the local brothel. She wants you to find one of her missing prostitutes. And the name of the brothel, I'm not kidding, the Bearded Clam.
Oh,
that's the name of
say
the brothel.
That?
Wow.
I was laughing so hard. I was just like, they didn't even go there, but they did.
Oh,
they went there.
Is somebody emailing this to the FCC? Holy moly. Bearded they can't clam. Tell us what we can say on podcast.
I smell a re-rating. Wow. ESRB re-rate.
So that was kind of amazing.
So, Kristen, what class were you playing as?
I played as a warrior, a Sumerian warrior, which is basically like your standard melee, you know, melee class. Chuck played as a necromancer. So, and that actually was perfect. Like, I'm not at all like a spellcaster, magic user, healer kind of person. I'm very much about the, like, to have a big, swing a big knife or like a big hammer and like beat the crap out of things. In any of those games, and in my opinion, like based on our different experiences, I think I may have chosen more wisely, because like necromancers, he got finishing moves, but I don't think they were quite as. I didn't get the impression that he was enjoying that part of the game as much as I was. Like I definitely was like just looking for like anything that bled to just destroy, and he I don't think was having quite the same experience. On the other hand, he got these totally awesome pets that followed him around. So, and they were like very cool looking. So, you know. So that was what I play. I had unfortunately, I actually wrote a blog post on my personal blog about the kind of trials of being a beta tester. Because on one hand, you know, everybody wants to be like exclusive and first, and if there's a game you're really looking forward to, you're like, wow, this is really cool. Like, I get to check it out before anybody else does. And
And
you know, I'm helping them sort of shape the game and find things that are wrong. But the truth is, you end up becoming just as, especially in a game like this, you know, an MMORPG, you end up becoming just as invested as if you were playing the retail version of the game. Mm-hmm. So that when all of a sudden, you know, you've had this like marathon play session and you've gone through, you know, 10 of the early levels, and then all of a sudden they're like, whoops, server's down and we're doing a character wipe. You know, it's no less sort of painful. Granted, you didn't pay for the game, but it's no less painful. You're no less aggravated by the fact that all of your progress is erased, really, than you would be. And, you know, this was a game in the late stages of beta testing, that, and so in the week and a half that I was playing it for this story, you know, I had to patch. I think I figured there ended up being like 30 gigabytes worth of patches all told. Oof. You know, so it was just like incredible amounts of time to like wait to download things to you know, things that undid things I had already, you know, things that I had already done. Like I had to restart the game like 3 times.
Yeah,
you were very edgy that day.
I was. It was a wrap. You know, I hadn't here. You know, here's a little like insight into magazine making for everybody. Being the editor in chief makes it really hard to write long stories anymore because they're time consuming. And you know, if I'm doing that, it means I can't be doing all the other stuff I do for the magazine. So I haven't done a cover story since I took this job. This was the first one I took, and it was really hard to do. I'm sure everybody here would agree.
Another thing that makes it difficult though is ADD. So
that's yes.
And I tend to, you know,
something shiny.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. So that it was a challenge. It was definitely a challenge.
Yeah, and another thing that's an issue with being a beta player is you know, want to go in there and be the first to play it, but it can kind of ruin the experience for you because a lot of things are not finished.
Yeah.
And they're broken, and it's frustrating sometimes. And the reason it's not out there for people to enjoy is because it's finished.
It's not ready, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's this sort of interesting, you know, like, you sort of end up straddling these two, you know, areas where on one hand you're like, okay, it's not finished yet, like, I, you know, that's cool. And on the other, you know, I obviously there's no tech support. And then on the other hand, you can get sort of frustrated by the fact that basically you're being the guinea pig for all of the things that are wrong. So that all of the people who then play the game, you know, in 3 weeks will have it be perfect for them. So on one hand, like, I appreciate the idea. It's exciting to think like, oh, I kind of helped this. But when you go back to play the game later, yes, it's taken something away from the experience. I think some. It's just, it's an interesting, I hadn't really spent so much concentrated time in such a short period of time in a beta test. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting experience. The other thing that was hilarious was I spent a bunch of time just kind of watching the global chat window, and watching the kind of mini community that had formed among the beta testers. And that was just cracking me up because people had clearly forgotten the fact that they were in a beta test playing a game that they were not paying for. And so just the amount of like hemming and hawing and moaning about this and that and the other thing made me want to get on and be like, dudes, it's a beta test. Game's not finished yet.
Was Chibat Yearly on there too going, oh, piracy is ruining my game?
There was one really funny actually moment where this particular evening I was playing and the game was just, the lag was absolutely unbelievable. Like it just was, the game was virtually unplayable. And so everybody was kind of chatting about what a problem the lag was and what a frustrating evening it was. And then there was like a moment where nothing came up in the, you know, in the chat window. And then all of a sudden somebody got on and said, oh my God, JFK was just shot. And then they got on with, sorry, lag.
Oh, wow. That's a good gag.
I was like, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So that was kind of.
Ooh, that was fantastic.
That's what I've been up to.
I don't have anything terribly new to report other than the way I've been playing, which is a little weird. I've been playing alternating between Rainbow Six 2 and Turok, but I'll play a half an hour of one and then go downstairs, have a pickle, come back upstairs, and then play a half an hour of, you know, the other one. And then
are you
just
the kind of person who reads 2 books at once?
Yes. I usually read 3 or 4 books at once, so I guess that's a symptom, but I enjoy it. I'm having a good time, and I'm really loving Rainbow Six Vegas 2. Turok, I'll talk about later when I know more, when I've formed more of a you know the better judgment. Dan, how about you?
Mostly Assassin's Creed has been, and Last Stand 2, actually. I've been playing a lot of that. It's very addictive. And you know, even going through a second and third time, it's fun. But I guess, can I talk about the lap board, Logan?
The Phantom?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been,
it's here.
Yeah, I've been playing with it with the Phantom lap board, the last surviving part of the Vaporware Phantom console. That was initially, I guess, supposed to be a kind of a set-top PC box that you could download games onto and play on your TV. And you know, my setup is kind of ideal for this product, because I have a 42-inch screen hooked up to my PC, an HD TV, so it's a 1080p resolution. So behind my chair I have a couch that I can sit on and watch movies on my screen. So basically I can sit on my couch, put the lap board in my lap, and play. I was playing Assassin's Creed on that. Now the lap board is a great concept for if you have this setup. It's a great concept. There are some problems with the execution. Most notably the mouse. I cannot understand why they packaged this mouse with this product, because it's aimed at gamers, and they give you a mouse that has no thumb button, which is just unacceptable. Unacceptable. Also, and I guess Will Smith at Max PC had more of a problem with this than I did, but I did experience it a couple times where the mouse will lose a signal for half a second.
So irritating.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, and so in a firefight that will end you. So
there may be driver issues in play here. It's possible, but you know, you'll be able to read the full review in our August issue. Yeah. But hey, at least it's here, which is more than we can say about the Phantom lap board for the last 4 years.
It is a physical object. We can say that much about it.
Indeed, it is.
Yeah,
and Andy, what have you been up to lately? Tell us about your gaming habits.
Okay, so I just finished Rainbow Six Vegas 2, and oh, great game. But I did have some issues with it, like crashing sometimes. But I mean, like I think it was only at the very end. It seemed like it crashed like 3 times at the very end of the game, and I was just like, oh.
Maybe
man.
The excitement was just too you know, palpable, and yeah.
But I love the level design compared to the first one. Do you know what I mean? Do you get that feeling like? They kind of nailed it down a bit better to what you can do with cover and what you can't do with cover. And
what I've noticed is that much more than in the first game, I blunder into situations not even realizing how exposed I am until it's too late.
Well, Logan does that in real life too.
I do actually do that.
I mean, just today he blundered into a situation where he was way too exposed. If you know what I mean.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
but you know, I mean, at least I can recover in both situations here and retain my dignity.
I've also been playing Sam and Max 2, episode 5, season 2, episode 5, and GTA 4. That's it.
Very
but
nice.
That doesn't count.
Well, we've come to the end of our podcast, and now it's our turn to listen to you. So send your questions to us in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. That's PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com, or just call us toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724 and record your question there. And remember to keep it brief and don't use a lot of cuss words. You can also empower yourself to become a part of the PC Gamer family by subscribing to PC Gamer Magazine. Just head on over to www.pcgamer.com/subscribe. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is Logan Decker saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to getting together with you again next week.
So, Andy, do we sound any better with the new Skype version?
Actually, it does sound better.
I think it sounds better too.
It's like bassier. It's more full sounding. That makes sense.
So I was thinking we might devote this entire podcast to the greatest cultural document of the century, which would be the movie Doomsday.
Doomsday. Yeah. What is that?
What?
Oh, now you've done it.
No, just inform me.
What?
No. Logan.
No, he's not going to inform you. He's just going to, you know, express his disbelief over and over again.
Is this an older movie or a new movie?
It came out like 3 months ago. It was so awesome. No, I need to start that all over again.
Oh, Logan. Really wrong.
I know. No.
Come back to us, Logan.
I'm trying to see how I can spin this right. Okay.
We just have a moment of silence.
If you opened up, we did have a moment of silence.
Is he seriously in Russia?
Yeah.
He is in Russia.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. You guys got to go amazing places.
What are you talking about, Logan?
It came from Andy.
Oh, it did? What does it say?
It says, Ek is tans besig met under oprep, be bell my ass belief, and be teach later donkey.
Well, you know.
It's very eclectic.
Yeah. Logan, you're very muffly. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm going to adjust this.
Hello, everybody at the PC Gamers Podcast. Just saying I love the podcast, and you're really funny, and Master PC Theater is great stuff. And I was just wondering, my question was, will GTA 4 come out for the...
Oh, shoot.
Skip it.
Everything's going to be...